This is the New LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, episode 229. My name is Steve Webb. Hi, how you doing? I'm your host. Judge not, that ye be not judged. Never? Are you sure? Let's see what Paul has to say about that in 1 Corinthians 4 and 5. Let's begin. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Let a man regard us in this manner, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. In this case, moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found trustworthy. But to me it is a very small thing that I may be examined by you, or by any human court. In fact, I do not even examine myself, for I am conscious of nothing against myself, yet I am not by this acquitted, but the one who examines me is the Lord. Therefore do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in the darkness, and disclose the motives of men's hearts, and then each man's praise will come to him from God. Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively applied to myself and Apollos for your sakes, so that in us you may learn not to exceed what is written, so that no one of you will become arrogant in behalf of one against the other. For who regards you as superior? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why did you boast as if you had not received it? You are already filled. You have already become rich. You have become kings without us. And indeed, I wish that you had become kings so that we also might reign with you. For I think God has exhibited us apostles last of all, as men condemned to death, because we have become a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are prudent in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished, but we are without honor. To this present hour we are both hungry and thirsty, and are poorly clothed, and are roughly treated, and are homeless. And we toil, working with our own hands. When we are reviled, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure. When we are slandered, we try to conciliate. We have become as the scum of the world, the dregs of all things, even until now. I do not write these things to shame you, but to admonish you as my beloved children. For if you were to have countless tutors in Christ, yet you would not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I became your father through the gospel. Therefore I exhort you, be imitators of me. For this reason I have sent to you Timothy, who was my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, and he will remind you of my ways which are in Christ, just as I teach everywhere in every church. Now some have become arrogant as though I were not coming to you. But I will come to you soon, if the Lord wills, and I shall find out, not the words of those who are arrogant, but their power. For the kingdom of God does not consist in words, but in power. What do you desire? Shall I come to you with a rod, or with love and a spirit of gentleness? 1 Corinthians chapter 5. It is actually reported that there is immorality among you, and immorality of such a kind as does not exist even among the Gentiles, that someone has his father's wife. You have become arrogant and have not mourned instead, so that the one who had done this deed would be removed from your midst. For I, on my part, though absent in body but present in spirit, have already judged him who has so committed this as though I were present. In the name of our Lord Jesus, when you are assembled, and I with you in spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus, I have decided to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? Clean out the old leaven, so that you may be a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened. For Christ our Passover also has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast, not with old leaven, nor with a leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote you in my letter not to associate with immoral people. I did not at all mean with the immoral people of this world, or with the covetous and swindlers, or with idolaters, for then you would have to go out of the world. But actually, I wrote to you not to associate with any so-called brother if he is an immoral person, or covetous, or an idolater, or a reviler, or a drunkard, or a swindler, not even to eat with such a one. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Do you not judge those who are within the church? But those who are outside, God judges. Remove the wicked man from among yourselves. May God richly bless the reading of His Word. You've heard it before, right? Someone's doing something that is patently wrong, and when they're called on it, they drag out the "judge not that you be not judged" line. Or someone fails to take a stand on an immoral issue or person because they think it's not up to them to judge. Well, after hearing Paul today, what do you say? Sounds pretty clear to me that Paul was telling the Corinthians to get the sinning person out of their fellowship. So then, what did Jesus mean when he told us not to judge? As is usually the case, it is helpful to look at context. The scripture is found in Matthew 7, verses 1 through 5. Let me read it to you. "Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite! First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." So what Jesus was really talking about was hypocrisy, not judgment. As you know, he wasn't very keen on hypocrites. That's something even non-religious people have in common with our Lord. No one likes a hypocrite. But to look at evil and call it evil is something that we are called to do often in Scripture. To call someone on their sin is right if it is done with love and a goal to restore them to right living and fellowship. We want to bring them to repentance. James 5:20 says, "Let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins." So the bottom line is this: keep your account with God clear. As much as is humanly possible, live your life in such a way that you will not be in danger of hypocrisy when you're called to confront sin. How else can we be salt and light in a lost and dying world? Have you had to confront sin? How did it go? Let me know at steve@lifespringmedia.com. I'll see you tomorrow. Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.